Fell down before King Prithu to touch his lotus feet. But Prithu Maharaj immediately embraced him in great ecstasy and gave up all envy against him, for his having stolen the horse meant for the sacrifice. Purport. There are many cases in which a person becomes an offender to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava and later becomes repentant. Here also we find that although the King of Heaven, Indra, was so powerful that he accompanied Lord Vishnu, he felt himself a great offender for stealing Prithu Maharaj's horse that was meant for sacrifice. An offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is never excused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many instances illustrating this fact. Amarish Maharaja was offended by Durvasa Muni, a great sage and mystic yogi. And Durvasa also had to fall down at the lotus feet of Amarish Maharaj. Indra decided to fall down at the lotus feet of King Prithu, but the king was so magnanimous a Vaishnava that he did not want Maharaj Indra to fall down at his feet. Instead, King Prithu immediately picked him up and embraced him. And both of them forgot all the past incidents. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. But since both of them were Vaishnavas, or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperative behaviour between Vaishnavas. In the present days, however, because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually among one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world, so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. Very good. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stavitam Dena Utile Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dadatisva Padantikam Mukham karoti vachalam pankulam gayate girim yakripa tamaham bande Sri Gurundi natalinam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadaya Sri Vasadi Guru Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maharaj Prithu must have been a fairly strong personality, strong character, well, Indra also, very, very powerful personalities in more than one way. Because here, Indra Maharaj Indra is paying his dandabats to Maharaj Prithu. Yet Maharaj Prithu picks him up. He must be pretty strong, right? He picks up Indra and embraces him. He's not comfortable. He's not comfortable with. And this is despite the fact that Indra has been terribly offensive in his behaviour. You know, Prithu Maharaj, look at this in the context of a cricket match, right? Prithu Maharaj is just about to score a century. And so, you know, that's a significant event. You're on 99, right? There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be able to hit the last run, right? And, of course, you know, everybody on the bowler's side is doing everything possible to stop you from hitting the last run. So it's a very, it's a tense occasion, right? Very tense occasion. And at every attempt, Indra has stifled that 100 for Maharaj Prithu. So that's a significant event. It's a significant event in the life of Maharaj Prithu. And so there's no wonder that he would be upset at Maharaj Indra. And even not necessarily for his own sake, right? Right? Because Maharaj Prithu, we know, is not really performing all of these sacrifices for his personal benefit. That's not his motivation, you know. It's not his motivation in a century. Although it would be very satisfying if he did. But we know that Maharaj Prithu was performing all of these yajnas to create an auspicious atmosphere within which people could achieve the ultimate goal of life, the real purpose of life. So it wasn't just a mundane, you know, let me hit a century. But rather, he was performing his specific duty. And so, and not only that, Maharaj Indra was out of really a material motivation. He was obstructing the course of dharma in more ways than one, stopping the last performance, but then the way in which he appeared as a in the dress of a sannyasi, so in the guise of a spiritual person, but behaving in a very materialistic way. So because Maharaj Prithu was a very exalted personality, had every reason or every right to be upset with Maharaj Indra. Huh? Every right to be upset. Yet, to underline and illustrate his devotional mood, right? And here it's mentioned, Sprishantam Padayo Premna. This is describing Indra. He felt himself a great offender. And so in ecstasy, he's offering his obeisances. Viditam, premna, vidita, svena karmana, embarrassed by his behaviour. Anybody here been embarrassed by their behaviour? Motivated by envy? Anybody experienced that? Yes, almost every day. If we're fortunate, if we're lucky. Usually we're committing offences to everybody and we're just oblivious to the fact. Right? We're just ignorant to what we're doing. So this is a, this is, and you know, when you realise this is humility. Humility is a very it's one of the first qualities of a Vaishnava. Because he or she realizes, I've been such a fool, blinded by my false ego, which is really what's happened to Indra. And it's interesting because Indra is described here significantly, Shatakratum, right? Shatakratum means 100 yajñas, right? His name is 100 yajñas. No wonder he didn't want Pitu Maharaj to get to 100. Because it would mean he was as good as him. And that was intolerable for Indra, the king of the demigods. And in the translation, it's word for word, Shatakratum, King Indra. So proud of his own achievements, this is our downfall very often. Proud of our own achievements, and then we belittle the achievements of others. Covered over by false identification with the body. So Shatakratum, King Indra, in ecstasy, because you know he's realized, and we should learn to appreciate those occasions when we are humbled. It can be a great source of ecstasy when we realize what a fool I am. In response, and this is a characteristic of the Vaishnavas, instead of becoming proud, Maharaj Prithviraj told you so. Right? You should be apologizing to me. He's taking a humble position, and he's forgiven. These are some of the qualities of a Vaishnava: tolerance, forgiveness, appreciation. And so also in the translation Prabhupada's got here, in great ecstasy also. Prema, they're both in ecstasy. Visasarja, he's given up his envy, vidvesham. Now, it'd be interesting to look up vidvesham, wouldn't it? And see what the synonyms are for vidvesham. Has anybody got a Sanskrit dictionary in their pocket? We all do, actually. SanskritDictionary.com. Is anybody familiar with that site? Really good site. SanskritDictionary.com. And it has about 5 dictionaries. So if you look up a word, it'll give you, you can look it up in English. Let's see if it works. Yeah, it's working. Oop, what's going on? did not match any dictionary words, probably because it doesn't have the. I have to look at it. Anyway, we'll look it up later on. Really good dictionary though. It has the Monia Williams, it has the Amara Kosha, it has Prabhupada's books. So it gives you all of these, it'll give you all of the references to that particular word in Prabhupada's books as well. And so, because, you know, very often a Sanskrit, just like any language, they'll have, maybe somebody can do a bit of research for me. See what the synonyms for Hindi Shama. Okay, so now this characteristic or this quality of envy is interesting. Prabhupada says in more than one place that the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to remove this envy. That the devotees are never envious of others. And so we see, and the, generally the envy means that you want something that somebody else has got, and that you don't want them to have it. It's not that you want to share it, but you want to take it from them. And so you have it, and they don't. The nature of deep-rooted, deep-seated envy. But and it's a quality that's not at all desirable. And as Prabhupada points out here. The qualifications of the Vaishnavas, or the qualification of the Vaishnavas, is they're free from envy. And that a symptom of self-centeredness, which is what, come in. Symptom of the non-devotees is they fight perpetually among themselves. And as a consequence, interesting, are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. Right? Becoming self-absorbed. Ahamameti, I am mine. And as a result of that selfishness, then always competing with each other for material gains. And when somebody else has something that you want, you go out of your way to give them trouble. Whereas devotees may, from time to time, we see in this pastime, here we have Maharaj Prithu, who's a Shaktivesh Avatara, and Maharaj Indra, who's king of the demigods, and so very, very elevated persons. Well, these are very elevated personalities, but still influenced by the material energy. Huh? So we shouldn't be surprised if from time to time we become envious of others. It's a feature of material existence. And so occasionally we see even great personalities become influenced by the material material energy and by material motivations. It's not surprising. The material, mama maya duratyadha, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, The material energy is mine, and it is very difficult to overcome. Right? And we are tatashta shakti, which means a marginal potency. Prabhupada gives the example of sitting on the beach. You know, when the tide's in, the waves are making you get wet. When the tide's out, you're dry. Right? But because we're in that tatashta, in that marginal position, not fully on the dry land and not fully in the ocean, then we sometimes get wet. Right? Or another example, Prabhupada says that the body is like a vehicle. Well, it's very much a vehicle. Like a boat. Well, the body is like a boat. And we're plying the ocean of material existence. And so sometimes it's smooth sailing. Especially if we have, as is stated in prayers in the second chapter of the first canto, you know, we think we have met your lordship by the grace of providence, right? Prayer to the spiritual master. Prayer to, is it Sanak? Who's speaking in Bhagavatam? Sanak, Rishi, isn't it? Suga Goswami, but who's reciting it at Naima Sharanya? Sutta, that's right, Sutta. You said Sutta. I thought you said Sukha. Sukadev. No. Sutta Goswami, yeah. So they're praising him and saying, you know, you were like the captain of the ship. The spiritual master is like the captain of the ship who gives advice to the sailors on how to set the sails so that the boat can ply its course smoothly. So by following the instructions of the spiritual master, the disciple is able to make progress towards the destination, going back home, back to Godhead. But even then, with the human form of life, which is the most suitable vehicle for traversing the material ocean and arriving on the shores of the spiritual world, and one has the instructions of the spiritual master and is following them, still the material energy is so powerful that waves will disturb the passage. And so we shouldn't be surprised by that. We see in the example of Prithu Maharaj and even Maharaj Indra, very elevated devotees, the king of the demigods. And Maharaj Prithu, Shakti Vesh Avatar, still there's the influence of the material energy. So they're teaching us a lesson. But because they're devotees, they don't maintain or they don't hang on to that envy, that anger. And because of their ecstasy here, prema, which is a symptom of bhakti. And even in difficult circumstances, when one is aware, embarrassed, one can feel great ecstasy when one is embarrassed by one's materialistic behaviour, one realises in how fallen I am, patita. These are helpful feelings for devotees. If you're feeling fallen and In error, that's actually good. It's good to feel bad. That's a symptom of humility. And it's a source of ecstasy. And from that humility and those realizations that one can then appreciate the good in others. And so this is a characteristic of Vaishnava, is that they are dosha darshi. They don't see the fault. A gunagrahi, they see the good qualities in others. Right? And so when Maharaj Indra comes to offer his obeisances to Maharaj Prithu, Maharaj Prithu doesn't want to, because you know the natural position for Maharaj Prithu is to honour King Indra, because Indra is in a superior position as a demigod. And so he's embarrassed. He also had maintained some animosity towards Maharaj Indra, so he's embarrassed. He's also feeling the ecstasy. And so Prabhupada says here, this is a first class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world. Right? So, rather than maintaining enmity towards each other like the materialists who are always competing, the devotees may become, Prabhupada says here, devotees, well, he doesn't say, he says people, but I'm going to say devotees because devotees are people, hopefully, special people. So even though devotees sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. Huh? Or maybe with a little difficulty for our purification. Huh? But understanding that our needs are insignificant. I was reading in the, what is it? Book by Raghunath Das. I forgot the name again. Braja Leela Stava, I think it's called. And he mentions there that the devotees consider their personal happiness as being like just a, like an insignificant blade of grass. Right? Their personal happiness is insignificant in consideration of Krishna's happiness. Right? Krishna's happiness is more important to the residents of Braj. Hare Krishna. The devotee is more concerned about Krishna's happiness than his own happiness. This is a significant. There's Krishna. And of course, Krishna's happy when his devotees are happy. Right? So the prime motivation for a devotee is to see that Krishna's devotees are happy. And so even though there may be, not maybe, we can expect there to be disagreements and maliciousness sometimes. Angry and malicious.
toward one another. But out of Krishna consciousness, being Krishna consciousness, we can readily sort out these differences. Even sometimes we might be angry with the devotees, if that's beneficial. We can become angry with the devotees. Huh? Have your parents ever become angry with you? Anybody here whose parents never became angry at them? Yeah? They're so perfect, huh? Or yes. But the parents get angry out of love and affection, right? Even when the devotees get angry with us because we're misbehaving, it's not out of maliciousness, but rather very often out of a cause for concern, sometimes. So that's why this mood of humility is important, right? Trinada Pisani Chinata Lore Vasa Hishina. It's natural position of a devotee. But sometimes circumstantially we may need to be corrected. We may stand corrected, or we may bow down corrected. This is the mood of a devotee. I've been corrected by you. Please forgive me. And we see that with Maharaj Indra. But then King Prithu is saying, no, it's you didn't commit any offence. I was the offender. This is the mood of cooperation. So that, generally speaking, amongst the devotees, there may be differences of opinion. Not maybe. There will always be differences of opinion. There will always be. Huh? But I mentioned this before, but the symptom of a Madhyam Adhikari is to make friends with the devotees. This is a symptom. To recognize Krishna, to worship Krishna, then to avoid the demons, obviously, that's pretty straightforward. But then, the hardest part, make friends with the devotees. Right? Because sometimes even the devotees behave like demons, at least from our perspective. Huh? But we still got to make friends with them. Or ignore them. Huh? Isn't that interesting? On the one hand, it's said that we have to make friends with the devotees, but then it's also mentioned that if the devotee is not of a very high caliber, we can offer our obeisances at least from a distance. Huh? We don't associate with them necessarily. There are ways, but primarily the prime focus of a devotee is to be friendly with the devotees. And of course that's absolutely required if we're to be successful as personally in our spiritual practice and cooperatively, or as a community working cooperatively to preach. That's what we're here for. You know, the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is not just to be a bunch of meditators. Right? We just sit around and meditate all day. Prabhupada says it. We're just reading it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But there's also action in Krishna consciousness. Which is all of the activities that we perform as devotees. Look, we, very few of us, how many of us can actually sit down and chant Hare Krishna sitting in one place for 16 rounds? How many can do that? Right? Is you sit down in one place and chant 16 rounds and that's all you do? How many of us can do that? Raise your hands.
Daily or
one day a week is okay. Do it one day in a week. It's not easy just to sit down and chant Hare Krishna. And this is stita pragya, right? This is a quality. Arjuna asked Krishna, what are the qualities of a devotee? Steady. Anudvigna. Looking at this verse, anudvigna. Vigna means disturbed. And we can assume that udvigna means a lot more disturbed. Right? But anu, not disturbed, this is the quality of a devotee. Anudvigna, not being disturbed, but sthita pragya, very steady. This is the qualification of a devotee that we should be aspiring to. Right? Being very steady. And why is a devotee steady? Prabhupada explains. A devotee is steady because he's fixed in his understanding of who he is as a devotee. Right? Anudvigna sthita pragya. Steady in consciousness, not disturbed, because he understands I'm a servant of Krishna. And I know what my service is. Right? But of course, he's active. This is why materialistic people see the devotees and they say, oh, he's very active. Right, he's out, Param Brahma and Mahalakshmi and Mathura, out selling books almost every day, selling books. So people say, oh, just out making money, you know. And you know, we're here in the morning counting all the money, or counting all the books and counting all the money. So people might think, oh, these Hare Krishnas are just in the money like everybody else. Right? Is that right, Arjuna Chakra? Just counts money. Well, a materialist, he's just the same as everybody else. Right? But he's not. We're not. Activities may look the same, but because they're not motivated by material desires, but they're motivated from the understanding of my spiritual identity, and my spiritual identity is that I'm a servant of Krishna. And as a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant of the devotees, right? And specifically the spiritual master. But of course, the spiritual master says to us, you know, sadhana, and this is what Prabhupada is saying, we have our sadhana, but we also have our, as part of our sadhana, because we, you know, even though Rupa Goswami says the goal of life is to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Right? This is the goal of life. Chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. But we can't even chant Hare Krishna sitting down for 2 hours a day. 16 rounds. We've got ants in our pants. Right? We've got to do stuff. Right? But that's okay. That is all right. Because, and this is why Ambarish Maharaj is such a great example. Right? Because Ambarish Maharaj was Atma Nivedana, but engaged in so many different activities. And that's why we have the whole process of bhakti is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc., etc. So many activities, and those activities are not at all material. Those activities, a devotee engaged in all of those activities 24 hours a day, is not on the material platform. Despite they may be collecting money, they may be selling books, they may be cooking food, they may be distributing food, so many things that we're engaged in, that none of those activities should be misunderstood as being material. Big mistake. We start seeing the activities of, or if we start seeing a devotee, he's a manager, or he's a pot washer, or he's a book distributor. He's a Sankirtan devotee, he goes and chants Hare Krishna. But these other guys, they're all materialists. We have to be very careful about that. Because all of the activities of the Vaishnavas are not on the material platform. And so we should never see a devotee on the basis of their activities. Because underlying their activities are all of the spiritual motivations. This is the difference, right? So a devotee, sthita pragya, is a devotee who understands, I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of my spiritual master. That's how we serve Krishna, right? And Srila Prabhupada has given us so many activities within the Krishna consciousness movement to keep us engaged, knowing that we can't sit down and chant, okay, great if we could, and certainly we should, if we can, just chant 24 hours a day. But really, what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say about people, you know, chanting 24 hours a day? What did he say? What did he call them? What did he call them? Anybody know? Cheats. Cheats. What was that poem you wrote? Vaishnava K. What kind of a Vaishnava are you? Right? Just showing off. Very, very difficult in this day and age for anybody to just sit down and chant 24 hours. This is Rupa Goswami's recommendation. But not many people can do it. And so, you know, there are stories of how, you know, when Prabhupada was in the Mayapur Festival, 1976, I think it was, and the devotees were telling Prabhupada that there was one sannyasi who had built a hut on the bank of the Ganga and that he was chanting 64 rounds a day. And Prabhupada was not very impressed. Well, he wasn't impressed. And it wasn't long before that devotee had gone. Right. You know, very special personalities like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right, who executed the same vow that Haridas Thakur did, right? For a year or 2 years, a really long period of time, showing that he was such a qualified person. And he did that, but then what did he do? He started then the Gaudiya Math and he went out and preached. Right? Which is interesting in and of itself. Rupa Goswami's recommendation is 24 hours chant Hare Krishna, which is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj did, Prabhupada did, but then he stopped. Why? Because the mission of preaching Krishna consciousness is more important, interestingly enough, right? This is the lesson that we can learn. So, you know, we shouldn't think, the devotee's activities shouldn't be seen in the preaching mission, should not be seen as material activities or something lesser. Okay, yes, in one sense, maybe lesser, because we're not able to sit down and chant Hare Krishna, but still, it's, as evidenced by Amrish Maharaj, all of these different activities are actually symptoms of bhakti. Okay, from time to time, as we see here with Bridget Maharaj and Indra, Maharaj Indra, sometimes our motivations may become a little murky. Covered, because we're Tatastha Shakti, we can get influenced either way by the material energy, by the spiritual energy. And so that's why we have our process of sadhana bhakti, where we engage in the regulated activities of hearing and chanting and remembering. and serving. But those activities will and do very quickly give rise to spontaneous bhakti. Right? They do. We see that. We feel it. Right? Some mornings you get up and you feel like, well, speaking personally, you feel like death warmed up. But some days, despite all difficulties, you just, oh, okay, let's go for it. But you're still inspired. Right? Devotional service is inspiring. Bhakti is with a motivation to please Krishna, and with little consideration for oneself and one's personal happiness, which is a symptom of the Vrajabhasis. This is a symptom of bhakti, where the main concern is Krishna's happiness. The main concern is for us Prabhupada's happiness, because we know pleasing Prabhupada pleases Krishna. And so when we have that as our prime motivation, then we're able to work together cooperatively. We may have our personal opinion, and we're always welcome to express it, but at the same time, we should also be prepared to listen to others. Good leadership is telling people what to do, right? A good manager or a good leader will tell people what to do. But at the same time, a good leader or a good devotee will, what? What's the first item of devotional service? Hearing, right? So it's always a good idea, instead of listening to the sound of your own voice telling people what to do, first of all, find out what they want to do. It's a good idea. Listen. So listening. Well, inquiring first, then hearing. Then based on what you hear, adjust. This is a trick, if you like. Not a trick, it's a symptom. A symptom of leadership is, first of all, listen to others. Because ever guess what? They may be smarter than you. Right? Always a good idea to find smart people. Listen to them, and then when you hear something smart, go for it. So, the motivation of the devotees is to please Krishna. We do that through following the orders and the instructions of the spiritual master, especially within ISKCON. That means working cooperatively together to preach. And that mood of cooperation, being non-envious and we can't say non-judgmental, because we are judgmental, right? But when you see good qualities, when we see good qualities in others, they're the things that we should encourage. Even though there may be negatives in a person's... Not maybe. There will always be some fault. Right? There will always be faults in others, but the devotee tends to look at the good. So we see that here with Maharaj Prithu. What Prabhupada says here, you know, in order to finish the mission of human life, we actually have to work together cooperatively. Otherwise, we'll be born again to fight again with each other. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
Prabhu, just to send the meanings of the word as you were asking for
it. Yes.
Yeah, send it to you in your...
You send it to me? Okay, let's have a look. Vidvesham. Okay. I've got an active head. I've got active heads on my phone. Let's have a look and see what it says. Pania Williams. Vidvesha. It's a noun. masculine, neuter. A class of evil demons. Ooh, okay, so we can see the direction we're heading here with Vidvesha.
Right.
This is not good quality. Oh, a magical act or formula used for exciting hatred or enmity. Okay, let's go down here. Hatred, dislike, contempt, aversion to. Show hostility towards. Okay, yeah, so it's like being angry. My Prabhupada says envious, but also anger, hostility. So we're seeing this between Maharaj Prithu and Indra. There was hostility, there was anger, there was aversion. But they put it aside because they're devotees. Have you ever felt anger and hostility towards the devotees? Anybody here?
No.
Never? No. You're a Paramahamsa.
Especially my Bhakta.
What was that?
Especially
my Bhakta. Husbands and wives, that's a different tattva. That's okay. Thank you. Adi. Okay, Gwendolyn Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada.